talk all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what y'all are doing today at 11, but whatever it is you are doing, I'm happy that you're doing that do and that you're doing that do with me. As a matter of fact, I do kind of know what some of y'all are doing. Some of y'all are going to work to have what I like to call water cooler talk about how you tell them long time the beating was coming. And how, you know, the stuff that Bahamian political supporters do. We in charge now. And no, it was your turn, it's our turn now. And that kind of stuff. But for whatever it is worth, I want to say to you that the leader of the country, now prime minister, is he going to be the most right honorable? You know, because, you know, with all of these honor lists going on now, everybody could have one bunch of titles. So he's probably going to be the most Right Honorable Philip Edward Davis, and hopefully we could stop calling him Brave now because that's not his middle name. Yeah, and so he can be the most Right Honorable Philip Edward Davis, MP, JP, QC, PM. Man, isn't that wonderful? That is so delightful. So there are any number of things that we can speculate about today, so I want to speculate about some things. Of course, I see that there's been some communication that the Prime Minister intends to appoint 8 other people to his cabinet today. What is most noted in my mind is that Pookie them been killing one another all weekend, and we still have no Minister of National Security sworn in. And so what I had imagined that I would have seen with a new prime minister coming into office is that he would get in office, swear himself in, or have himself sworn in. Immediately, he would have an attorney general sworn in because the Constitution of the Bahamas says that there shall be an attorney general, which then leads me to believe that since there's been no new attorney general sworn in, I know this is going to make you cringe. Please make sure that you swerve to the side of the road to avoid any accident because I'm accepting no liability. As it stands today's date, that would mean that Carl Bethel is still attorney general. How does that make you feel? Yeah, and so until a new attorney general is sworn in, as far as I am aware, based on all of the advice that I've gotten, the attorney general of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is still Carl Wilshire Bethel. Doesn't that just make you feel moist with disgust? Anyway. So sometime today, 8 other cabinet ministers will be sworn in. I am going to bet that among that 8 will be Glenys Hannah-Martin, Alfred Sayers, Wayne Munro. And you can check out today's Guardian for the Parliamentary Registration Department's breakdown of who, when, what, and the official counts of where. for those of you that like to keep these things. So it's going to be the centerfold in today's Nassau Guardian. So where was I? Glenn is Anna Martin. Alfred says, I think among them is also going to be Wayne Monroe. And that's three. I also think among that is possibly going to be Joe Beth Colby Davis, because from all indications that I have, the Prime Minister seems to be largely beholding to her for some reason that I am unaware of. There is going to possibly be Obadiah Hercules Wilchcombe among them. Who else will possibly be in the eight? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know. I hear talk about Vaughn Miller being in the cabinet. I don't know if I share that position at this present time. We will wait to see those. So those are definitely the five that I think will make the cabinet. I can't really look among this list and think outrightly of who the last three will be. And so maybe you all can help me with that. We know that Chester Cooper is already in there. And so maybe you all can help me with what the other three are going to be. I'm also going to talk about the fact that the Prime Minister, I believe, although these things will not matter substantively, the Prime Minister has any number of very low-hanging fruits that he can pick from that'll make people feel as though his government has gotten off to a good start. You will note that over the weekend, the Prime Minister relaxed the curfews to 12 a.m., and I think it's because he actually has sense. Anybody with a brain would understand that it is difficult to run a society that you shut down at 9 o'clock at night. You would also note that it was kind of difficult for the police to police it, because there were sectors in the hotel that were open that didn't necessarily translate into the population. And so the police spent the entire night trying to figure out who was in fact going to work, who was coming from work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you push the curfew to 12 o'clock, the police staff do not need to get out until 12, maybe 1 o'clock, because they need to give the people that are getting off of their 12 o'clock shifts chance to get home. And so anybody that they meet on the street at 1 o'clock would definitely be in violation of the curfew. That would make sense, right? Because the people that go into work for 12 o'clock would have already been to work. And so there shouldn't be any movement on the street past 1 o'clock in the morning until at least 5:30 in the morning when the curfew is lifted, right? You create an awkward policing situation for the police force, because that's not necessarily a full shift. You create an awkward scenario for all of the small business owners, because while I am a businessman that doesn't want to fire anybody, do I want to keep allowing people to come to work to work awkward, you know, 5.5 or 4.5 hour shifts? Because, you know, when Shakira come to my job, right, she have to wear makeup. That is a requirement of my organization. Well, her makeup doesn't know that she's only working half a shift. So when she goes and buys the expensive makeup, you know, the ones that you women like, when she goes and buys the expensive makeup only to come and work a half a shift, technically, she is operating at a deficit. I don't imagine she'll be able to sustain that very much longer. So she will either quit or, I don't know, somehow I'll have to fire her. So the Prime Minister has moved to a 12 a.m. curfew. And you can feel free to give me a call. 323-623-2352-543-16-325-4259. You can text me on 4224796. One of the other very low-hanging fruits that I think the Prime Minister and his team could get to right away is the minute he appoints a Minister of Works, I would really like them to spend the next 6 months, get this, putting in the blasted turn left lanes, turn left signs, turn left signals. Literally, if they did just that, right? People would begin to say, oh my God, there is some order and civility in this society, and now things are beginning to not look harum scarum, knee-jerked, and hodgepodge, and the society is beginning to go in the right direction. I just want to show this administration how many of the very, before we start talking about all kind of silly things like natural resources and that kind of stuff, let me show you how much of the very, very, very low-hanging fruits there are to pick. Let's take a call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Mr. Miller. What's up, my brother?
Hey, DeWitt.
All right, and good morning to all of those who wake up in the land of the living. Is this an open line today or just?
It is. Let's go. It's open. Let's go.
Okay. This weekend I had the opportunity to watch a video, and Mr. Miller, right? First of all, let's take the politics out of it. All right. I'm talking to you as a concerned Bohemian and as a person that has love in his heart for people. Mm-hmm. I watched a video whereas the hurricane supplies which was donated from 2019. I'm talking about the 40-foot trailers of shingles and plywood. Tell me, as we speak on this phone today, why was the Bohemian people deprived of the things that the government didn't buy that was donated to them? Why is it though, Mr. Miller? Why? Give me a reason that those people in Abaco wasn't good enough to have those shingles and plywood and sheetrocks and generators. Give me a reason why, and in Grand Bahama, give me a reason why, and if you give me a good reason why they wasn't privileged enough to have it, I would not call your talk show anymore.
Well, because politicians calculate things the way politicians calculate them, and you know, in politics, you ask a question, let me answer you. In politics, right, everything is about strategy and timing. Everything. If you, no matter how good a thing is you do, if you do it out of time, it will be of no benefit. It's like washing the dishes only when your mommy looking. You only wash the dishes when your mommy looking, because if you wash it one time while she was looking, you will get away with not having to wash it anymore for the next 3 weeks.
But Mr. Miller, mm-hmm. on top of that, right, you going back to these people. Right?
I answer your question yet.
Pardon?
I answer your question, yeah?
No, I thought you was finished. Sorry. No. Pardon me.
Okay.
Pardon me. Sorry.
So, what I have deduced is that they wanted to make sure that because they would be coming off of the heels of an election, if they came out by the hair of their chin, right, what they would be able to then do is give the people the trinkets that came along as relief for the hurricane, and that would distract them for a bit while they dealt with things like the Moody's downgrade that is obviously now upon us and the restructuring of debt and that kind of stuff. If you give people cake, they will be happy, right? So you give them the cake and they're happy for a little bit and you could go and be busy doing some other things that's probably going to scare them if they were paying attention. So that is what I imagine they were trying to do.
But Mr. Miller, let me intervene and ask you a question. You mean to tell me now, let's be realistic, from 2019 to 2021, The powers that be, whoever it may be, whether the NEMA, the stuff came from NEMA, whatever hurricane relief effort, people who were in charge of it, basically, you mean to tell me those people, you still have people, as I speak to you today, in Grand Bahama, still in tents? Come on, man, Mr. Miller, before I hang up, all I want to know from everyone in this country, why? What did the Bohemian people do? Mr. Hubert Alexander Minnis, Mr. Darren Henfield, well, the other gentleman from Abaco, I forgot his name because he don't even be around, so he don't exist. What did they do them to be deprived of those things that was donated to them by persons concerned, persons throughout the world, throughout the country, and not throughout the country, throughout the world? I found that the Bahamas government didn't buy it, not even a nail, Mr. Miller.
Well, you may be right, DeWitt, but okay, so here's the thing. I am understanding information reaching my desk is that those supplies were newly acquired supplies. I don't speak for the Rotary Club, nor do I speak for the former government. Let us all just agree that I'm happy that the people got the things now. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Not there. 323-623-2323-254-316-325-4259. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Levon Miller.
I am he.
Let me give you your full title, Levon Miller, JP.
Hello, Robert.
Now, brave ago as the right honorable. Number Minister Knight himself.
Yes, but I'm saying, hold on. But what? I'm saying the rule is Miller. If you make it to Prime Minister, you get an automatic honor of the nation.
Not a dollar short. But I don't think he would put him any kind of evidence. But he's not a real PLC. I guess you give them championship job. Today is Canada election. Do you think Trudeau is going home?
Oh, I don't. My advisors tell me that he's possibly going to end up in another coalition position, but that he will probably maintain prime ministership.
Now, we should see by Friday if Brave have to lock us down, like Jamaica helps to make New Orleans, got to make it lock down tight. To go in Saturday at 6 p.m., you come out Monday morning at 5 a.m. Holiness ain't playing.
I completely disagree with that sort of nonsense, and I want to say that I think it has been totally ineffective here.
Because we're not by Friday. We're not by Friday. If we're going to sink or we're going to float. So we've been loose, partying and drinking and fighting and clubbing. Man, the people are wild around here now.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to make a tough decision. Because COVID don't play. We ain't got no oxygen. We ain't got no Vendezavir. We ain't got no monoclonal drugs. So to stop from going into hospitals, now we're going to go to Biden and get some monoclonal antibodies. They are free in the state.
Okay.
That stage you going in the hospital.
Okay. All right. Let's take another one. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Good morning, Ivan. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. So, a question. Now that the curfew has been extended to 11:59 p.m., does the behavior people right now, do they need a stimulus check in their pocket to put the money back into the economy?
Well, the Prime Minister and his team are saying that they're going to, I hear Mr. Cooper saying that they're going to get to the reduction in VAT as quickly as possible. They're going to review it, see what are the triggers that they need to have pulled. I don't know if I still to this day agree with the reduction of VAT. And it's just because it doesn't make sense to me. If you say to me that VAT is the most certain generation of revenue in the government's coffers, if you say to me that that VAT always overperforms, right? Then why would we touch that? Let us leave that one alone, right? And look for lower hang. I don't understand what is the fascination with behaving politicians and always trying to go for the highest apple on the tree, you know. There is a whole tree. Let's pick the apples at the bottom.
Exactly.
And so, you know, if you ask me, I would prefer that they just do a rate reduction on the central bank prime rate. And then that would just in my estimation, that would have the very same effect as reducing VAT with a whole lot less mass.
So, but not at this time to give the BMP people any stimulus check direct to them.
Where would they get the stimulus money from if Moody's just downgraded us to, what is it, a BBB- or something like that?
So the coalition, that was a fantasy.
Again, I've never really looked at the coalition's plan. I do not know where they were going to get that money from. What I do know is that the government of the Bahamas, it just like every other government, has been not receiving revenues at the level that they have to or should have been. People like Brenza Rule have said that the government has spent over $200 million. And so I don't know if they would have been able to dole out stimulus checks no matter who was elected. I don't foresee that as being a thing. But the point I make to you is if you are able to reduce the cost of living, people will end up having money in their pockets as a consequence in any event. I just don't know if I would go with the route of reducing VAT to 10%. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. Because, you know, it's kind of like if you have a full-time job, right, and you have two side hustles, why would you ask for less hours on your set salary job? That doesn't make sense. Go to work for the 8 hours, get that sure money, and then you may have to find yourself devoting sleep time to your side hustle if you want to ramp up revenue there. But why would I deliberately reduce the sure salary? That doesn't add up to me. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Let's take another one. 323-622-3253-1632-54259. Caller, you're on. Is it there?
Hey.
Hey, caller.
Hey, good morning, Sir Levi.
Of Anglestonia.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, you know. Listen, you know, I watched the swearing-in ceremonies of both the prime minister and the deputy, and that was the first time I really sat down and watched it. And, Levi, I was really impressed by the speech that was given by both the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister. Even though they had a scripted thing, they spoke from their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody can get up and speak their heart, I can support them. And I wish them all the best. Now, you mentioned that reducing the crime rate would be.
I think that it would. I think that it would have the same effect that they are trying to achieve.
No,
only it would be a whole lot less massive.
No, Lee, mm-hmm. How many persons can qualify for a loan? Do you realize that the banking system have over $5 billion in liquidity right now? That is out there, but they don't have qualified buyers.
And I get that, right? But okay, so can I lend you something to think about? Yeah. All right, if you have, let's just say you have a salary deduction as it presently stands, right?
Right.
And your salary is already being deducted and already comes out of your money that you never see.
And it's already maxed out.
Right. But do you realize that if we reduce the prime rate at the end of this month, when you pay whatever bill that is that you have, there will be money in your account. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, but.
And so what that money does is it gives you an opportunity to buy bread, to pay light bill. I don't care. You could give it to soft hands for what I care. The point I make is it instantly puts money back in your pocket, and I don't know if it affects the business citizen. Listen, if we reduce VAT to 10%, what's going to happen is all of the big companies are going to have to call in an accountant to adjust their books, adjust their pricing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
you get me? Who do you think they're going to pass that course on?
Yeah, Levon, but you have to look at it exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
A VAT transaction is hundreds of millions or thousands of transactions.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, by the time exponentially, the country will be saving more, right? And that money will again stimulate to, in my
I don't know thing, I, that that's so messy though.
More.
You don't think that is so much more messy than simply.
I don't
taking the prime down by 1%?
I don't have a loan. I don't owe. I don't pay no loan. I don't. You know. I don't owe anybody nothing. I mean, I may be in the minority, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who are spending every day.
Do you have a credit card?
I have a debit card. I have a credit card. So to me, I feel that, and it's only for 1 year, like they said, it'll be for a period of 1 year.
Which again, I think makes, again, more chaos, because the very next year, I'm going to have to bring the accountant back to do all of the things that I just brought him in to do last year.
Yeah.
So here's my take on it. I think if you say to me that we are going to make exclusive exempt zones on VAT, like there will be no VAT at all on any grocery item, I can see that putting money back into people's pocket. I mean, overnight, and it doesn't cost a dollar.
Yeah, you see, but I would like to see how we have a year to see how it works, and if it doesn't work, the
you're probably going to frustrate Bahamian voters to death with that.
And they went up by 60%.
Mm-hmm.
They had to change. Right, so you know, I think by now these accountants, they got this, they have an adjustable thing in there that they could probably just boom. And
let's hope. Let's hope this is still the Bahamas.
But I'm presuming because it was done before. But I would like to see how it works.
Okay.
And it was a promise made, and mm-hmm. and so if you made a promise, you don't want to start off bad and saying, I don't, you know.
There's a little, appreciate your call very much, caller. There's a little joke that comes to my mind. People promise to love their wife for as long as we both shall live. And you know that's a lie, because you wake up some days and don't love yourself. How you can love this other human for the rest of your life? So sometimes, you know, the promise is just, that's the thing that you say right here. I promise to try to do this thing, but it's not going to happen. Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, there. Call you there?
Yep. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Mr. Miller.
Hey, how are you?
I see the logic in what you're talking about reducing VAT for 1 year, because it can be tedious going forward. But, and I understand cutting the prime rate will help a whole lot of persons with loans and the like, but reality is that he said he wanted to bring relief to everybody. So the only way he can do that is through the reduction of VAT, because I don't think VAT should have been 12% to begin with.
Or he could just simply take VAT off of which human being do you know isn't buying grocery?
Yeah, I think it should have never been 12%. I think initially when it went to 10%, when actually the former prime minister decided to put the 12%, and it was rejected by four of his cabinet, part of his cabinet,
mm-hmm.
and he literally fired them. That was a clear indication right there. So bringing it to 10% would help, will do greater good to the average Bahamian.
Okay.
Who have to show up every day.
Okay. I hear you. We do not share the same position, but I hear you. Let's take it on. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Hey, a pleasant good morning, my brother. How are you? How are you doing today, Levon?
Hello, Anton.
Okay, a couple of points of Levon. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, the VAT reduction alone is not a comprehensive view that needs to be considered. There is a VAT reduction to help to bring some relief.
Mm-hmm.
There is a minimum wage increase mm-hmm. that will be coming. That will also help to bring some relief.
Mm-hmm.
There is the stimulus in terms of seeking to reduce the interest rate on our foreign debt. That will continue. That will also assist in bringing some relief.
Mm-hmm.
There's the growth aspect in terms of growing the economy through foreign direct investments
mm-hmm.
and through local direct investments.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the housing program. And so there is a myriad of pieces that has to be put together. And then you can see why it makes sense to, as a low-hanging fruit, give the Bahamian people some level of relief. And final point, Levon, uh-huh. final point on that matter. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. You would have made a statement that that it stated that the VAT is the tax that always hits its mark. That has not been the case. The former administration hit their mark in terms of VAT collection since they put that stranglehold of 60% increase on us once, and that was in their last fiscal budget where they would have hit their actual target. Every other year, they failed. And as a matter of fact, when you examine what VAT at 7.5% was bringing in, and you examine what VAT at 12% was bringing in, you would find in that study that, or in that comparison, that VAT actually, the increase in VAT actually put a contraction on the economy. And so if you increase taxes too much, Levon, you're going to have a negative impact on the Bahamian economy.
And so three of those things are invisible things. The whole interest rate on foreign funds, invisible. The housing plan, and invisible. None of those things are real, tangible things that people can see. They will be wonderful policy ideas that we will just never realize. Now, do I agree that if you uptick on the tax too much, you cause contraction in the spending? Absolutely, I agree with that. And if the spending contracts, then so does the tax generation. What I said was that VAT is the most effective tax implemented by the government, which means the government spends almost no money to collect it. And literally, people bring it to the government. The government doesn't need to implement an agency or anything to collect this money. It has also been said that that tax has overperformed, right? So they may have missed the mark 2 years. I think you're saying to me, Anton, well, in the time that Michael Alkitos was the Minister of State, it overperformed and it hit its projected targets last year. The point I make is, if the tax works, why touch it? Leave it alone. That just makes sense to me. I think that we could do easier things. Like, you know, there is a very silly practice, one that has touched, I mean, the cord in my chest. For as long as I've been a driver of a motor vehicle in the Bahamas, could you please tell me what is the purpose of the inspection line at road traffic? Anybody, please. If the Road Traffic Act says that a police officer reserves the right to conduct an inspection on my vehicle while acting in his capacity as a police officer at any time, then what am I coming over here for? For some guy in a Dickies uniform to ask me to turn on my light and wipe my windshield wiper for. Only for when I have a blown tail bulb that I was totally unaware of, that costs 38 cents, right? I am going to reduce the government's income by $249. Well, I think that's how much it costs to license my car now. $294. Because I have to come off of the line for a blown tail bulb. So I think that there are so many ways the government of the Bahamas hampers its own ability to generate money. I've had a business license application before the Inland Revenue now for 2 weeks. I'm still waiting on a response. I am trying to put this money in the government's coffers. There are so many other low-hanging fruits. I don't know if I want to come right out the gate touching VAT. Leave that already in. And sometimes you will find that once the knife's already in, Leave the knife in, because if you take it out, I may bleed to death. The numbers, 3-2-3-6-2-3-2-3-2-5-4-3-1-6-3-2-5-4-2-5-9. You can call me. I don't know who the other eight are. I've given you my five, but the Prime Minister says he will name eight. So the other thing I want to do is reduce protocols at road traffic. I believe if that department of the government was easier to navigate, I believe you would see an uptick in government revenue. Let's take a call, Kermit. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, 52.
Yeah, bless it. You know, I'm not going to keep my mind in the cave and stain my brain with the FNM, right? Put my mind in the cave and hate on Brave. You know, we all pulling for Brave to be the best and do the best, right? Because he's a human person. I met him before at Cal Island. I'm a Cal Island man, right? But I don't know him personally.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you know, something you said, I thought was very, very crucial. When you said take the wallet of food, food is an essential.
Right.
And so you have non-essentials. And so maybe if they would be prudent in reducing the VAT, right, to 10% on certain items. And then you have, because the non-essential items, you know, most people are not able to afford those right now because of the employment situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at that as being very crucial. You know, let's say within the inner city, the initiative that they had, building supplies, you could do them VAT free or still say we'll reduce the VAT to 10%. But straight across the board, I don't think it's prudent. And then maybe, like, let's say healthcare, like, you know, the hospital is overwhelmed. It's only the cemetery and jail for black people now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, man. So because now you get back to school, so even though the children are online, people who have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 children, they got to go to private doctor to do medicals. So that means that's medicals right there. For 4 or 5 children, you got to go to private doctor.
Right.
You got to pay the admission fees, et cetera, et cetera. So they have to be mindful of these little things that they even see with affecting people. I myself, I'm telling you, you can't go nowhere. You can't go to the hospital. So you're spending all your money on healthcare,
mm-hmm.
private doctor, differently. So it affects people. It affects the money in your pocket. You see what I'm saying, Levi?
Mm-hmm.
And I like to thank the Prime Minister for humanizing these mindless protocols that existed. And I'm very upset with the very, very subordinated, subservient sheep who crying for lockdowns when they don't have the scientific knowledge to understand that the lockdowns won't work and the disease already reached an endemic equilibrium. This is what they're telling people.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people would have COVID, some of them are doing homeopathic remedies, and they're getting results. So the government all over the world and our government at home knew that the healthcare system would be overwhelmed. They knew this. So they didn't recommend any other medical interventions because they know the healthcare system would be overloaded. So why isn't that we don't have monoclonal antibodies that I spoke about over a year ago and Juan mentioned over 6 months ago, and now they're talking about it, and now they're having a big fight over these monoclonal antibodies in Florida?
Hmm. I don't know, 52. Appreciate you. Let me read a couple of these text messages before I go to the break. Good morning, Mr. Miller. Can you ask about or make a case for the SBDC being revamped and actually do what it is intended to do, that is to empower entrepreneurship, not stifle it. Brother Miller, stop thinking small. 1 million spend, you save 20 G's and it trickles down. No one yet has been able to make the case for me on the reduction of VAT in a way that makes the light bulb in my head cut on. I apologize. Come on, Eleven. What would be significant remove VAT off of food and medicine? I agree with that. Now, that I could agree with. This here says, clearly, Levan tell DeWitt get his story right. Those supplies were rotary supplies and not donated supplies. I think I did say that already. Clearly, Anton didn't understand what you meant. You meant VAT hits its mark because it's efficient, not like every other tax. That is exactly what I meant. This one here says, Levan, the problem... Let's start from the beginning. Leaving, I was heading north on Soldier Road, heading to Village Road, and this crazy woman with political paraphernalia all over her car, blowing a horn to anyone with a similar paraphernalia, started blowing a horn and shouting at me to move. Well, crazy woman, my light on red. You people give me the love, the light my life requires. Well, crazy woman, my light is on red. The law doesn't allow me to go through it because you want to turn left on red. The police really needs to launch a national education program. No. The government of the Bahamas faltered when they thought to implement a law and then left it for the children to kind of govern. You know, you can't leave the baby to mind himself. If you make a law, all right, you have to turn around and make the subsequent actions that follow the law. You have to put in the turning lane. You have to put in the turning sign. You have to put in the turning signals. Other than that, just Saturday, I saw someone turn directly in front of an oncoming car in the mall and start blowing at the other cars as if it was to say, get here first. I got here first. People seem to have no clue of road rules of right away. A few weeks ago, a gentleman in a white, you seem to have a lot of insight on people that don't know how to use the road. This one here says, I like your idea of reducing the prime rate. Thank you very much. I think it's so much neater. I'm never interested in creating chaos, you know, Kermit. Like, how about, and that's why I had to leave the military, because obviously as I age, I'm not interested in difficult things. And the military only believes in running, jumping, and climbing. And I don't understand why I need to climb up this building when the government could just buy a bucket truck and you could just take me up there in the bucket truck. But sometimes smart people lose themselves in smartness. And you find that you end up with one bunch of smart chatter that doesn't affect anybody, but it sounds really good when there is a far more practical way to get the very same result. This one here says, what's next for Anton? Will he continue to call and speak on behalf of the government? I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they're going to put him in charge of PR. I like your idea about reducing the prime rate. Thank you very much again. Reducing the prime rate would increase credit, which would increase demand for our foreign currency reserves. Bad decision, particularly during the time when we are strapped for foreign currency. Okay. Good morning, sir. DeWitt, those government is not playing with this crew. Also, people are saying DeWitt and Miller open up Munnings Road. Well, let me say that that is alleged. I do not have any knowledge of that. Please, DeWitt, don't sue me. I can give you the phone number for this person. You could go and sue them. Thank God, Minister's gone. I'm happy. Thank you, Lord. I am also very happy to see the back of Prime Minister Minnis. I cannot pretend like I am not. I really am. I think that he was out of his depth. Hi, Levin. I don't know about the Abaco supplies, but I know enough about building to know that plywood and shingles are mainly used for roofing. Sheetrock is generally used for the inside panels. Did anyone donate blocks for house exterior? Ask to it, why should roofing and paneling be given to people? Okay, let's just take a break, Kermit. 323-6232-325-4315-325-4259. You can text me, 422-4796. Let me read this one as I go to the break. Good morning, Levin. Those people in Freeport really like bad treatment. As bad as Minnis and his FNM government treated them, they still gave the FNM 3 seats. Don't go anywhere. It's Levin Miller. I'm on Guardian Radio. That means I'm unleashed. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. I've got more show for you. We'll be back after the break.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes, like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
What happened to you?
You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never pay to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk. Quality.
Thank you for staying with me, Levin Miller. I'm back. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Policy projections aside, cabinet projections aside, I don't know how I miss Fred Mitchell. He's obviously going to be in this top eight as well. I love politics in the Bahamas, Kermit. Let's go to the clip. Let's go to the clip from former Prime Minister Perry Gladstone Christie. I thought this was the funniest thing. They interviewed Mr. Christie at the swearing-in of now Prime Minister Davis. They interviewed him, and I thought his words were so funny. I want you all to hear them. Prime Minister Perry Christie.
The happy point is that the Bahamas again demonstrates that we have a vibrant democracy. I went on, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on election day. I went looking for the Prime Minister, Hubert Minnis. I went and I found him at his polling station with his supporters. And I said, I've come to tell you, you have lost the general elections. That was around 2 o'clock. I said, Brave Davis will be the next Prime Minister. And I've come, my friend, to say to you, if you would wish me to help you with your concession speech, I'm prepared to do that. And he looked shocked. And then he said, I'm going to beat Brave Davis. That's when I realized that we were on two different planes. So,
don't you just love politics in the Bahamas? I mean, because you assume that once a man ascends to the office of Prime Minister, and for whatever the reason, he now is vacated of that office, that he would become apolitical, right? Like, you would assume that, when Mr. Christie and those get together, they are talking about international policy, trade relations, and how it works. Mm-mm. Cousin, it ain't look good for you, boy. Boy, Brave could kill you with beans, son. I know if you see what's happening out here. Boy, this don't look good. I just love the way, I love politics. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, Collie. You're on. Collie, there?
Yes, good morning, Levan. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. With all due respect to you, sir,
mm-hmm.
I heard Prime Minister Davis said, when they take a look at Treasury,
mm-hmm.
they will then come back and tell us how the VAT will be removed.
Yes, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So could you just give them the opportunity to form?
But that was what I said. Wasn't that what I said? Didn't I say that Mr. Davis said that they're going to have to take a look at it and figure out how to make the policy work? Did I say something different?
No, you didn't say anything different, but I mean, the way it comes off on the radio, I mean, for the callers that listened, it seems as if like you're in doubt. That's what I'm saying.
I am doubting that policy. I don't need to see the books. I mean, they do, sure.
Yes.
I'm just saying to you that when I hear the idea,
mm-hmm.
in my head, mm-hmm. I think about what the idea will look like,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if I said to you right now that I want to bake an eggless cake, you could begin to think to yourself, do I want a cake without egg in it,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
And what that will look like and what it will probably taste like, right?
Yeah.
And instantly you could say to yourself, without even seeing it, boy, I don't know if I want a cake with no eggs in it.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
Yes,
I don't know if I want coffee with no sugar in it.
In a speech that the rich will pay their fair share of taxes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just give them that opportunity, and then we go from there.
Okay.
Thank you, man.
All right, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. So I think I've completed all of my 8 cabinet picks that I think the prime minister will pick. I don't know where he will put them, but he says 8. I don't know why they're keeping the secret so ironclad. Joe Beth Colby Davis, I believe, will be appointed to the cabinet. Glenn Sana Martin. Alfred says, Frederick Audley Mitchell is back. Wayne Monroe, Obadiah Hercules Vilchkem, and I like Obi. Who is the man? Obi Vilchkem. So he's back. And then, of course, I think among them will be Michael Halkidis, who will come through the Senate. Let's take another one. Good morning, Collie. You're on. Collie there?
Hey, Rachel. What are you saying,
Levan? Hey, Papa.
Levan, so the emergency order's over?
No. The emergency orders can't be over. They have to go.
So the landlords them still can't put up the tenancy. We still have the thing with the insurance companies and the bank thing on.
Yes, all of the emergency orders are still in place. Yeah, and there won't be any adjustment. Well, there won't be any doing away with the emergency orders until the parliament is reconvened, and that doesn't happen until the 4th of October. Yes.
So okay, we don't have to wait till November or whatever.
For what?
And do you think that was a good thing that they do it like that for the people? And because they ain't get no money to pay the insurance.
I don't understand the question. What you asking me?
I mean, the emergency orders with the landlords, how it was, like the landlords couldn't put out the tenant and stuff like that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that to be factual. I know people that have put out tenants during the COVID.
There may be some people who had other issues before the COVID, but I mean the emergency orders had gone high. I just wonder if they know if like the landlord will have his rights to do it, and if they can take care of the landlord so they don't have to go that far to
all
put people.
All the landlord needs to do is go before the face of the court. The court will decide whether or not the landlord has.
And when the government step in and help, because that was one promise, they had overlooked the landlord, just like with the musicians and stuff like that. At least they do something for the musicians, but the landlord was only told to don't do certain things. Check it out, OB. You know, our boy OB. And I like what the Prime Minister do so far, Prime Minister Davis, with the Deputy Prime Minister, putting him in charge of tourism and aviation.
Mm-hmm.
That split the whole ministry from Glenys. I know if you touched that yet, from Glenys Anna Martin and OB Wilscom.
I don't want Glenys anywhere around transportation. You know, I want I'm lying. That is a lie. I want Glenys in transportation, but I would like to see her as the Minister of Works. She's
What about aviation, where she used to be? You agree with the new decision to maybe put someone else there and let them up tourism at the same time?
I like aviation and tourism together.
Right?
But I want them
the
to put
the
culture
the Prime Minister's
ministry.
A new face dealing with the investors and stuff like that. That'll be good, too.
And I wanted them to put culture with that ministry. Like, I think the Ministry of Youth is nothing but intellectual masturbation. Mm-hmm. I don't think that means anything. So I think the Ministry of Culture needs to go with the Ministry of Tourism, because that is the product and the machine that drives the product. You follow me?
Yeah, whatever the Prime Minister does, what Prime Minister Davis, I got to get used to saying Prime Minister Davis now.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he does, I think we just got to work with it. We got to remember, he still is the Prime Minister. Whosoever he put there, he got to take responsibility if they fall down or whatever, after they take responsibility as the Minister. Keep up the good work, Lee.
Thank you, Baba. Let me get a couple of these text messages out of the way. This one here says, leaving, they go for the apple at the top of the tree, because the apple at the top of the tree is usually sweeter. And I can tell you one thing, the fall from the top of the tree usually is harder. Leaving, no PM have ever gotten the right honorable title in their first term. I know history. I don't know if I agree with that. Let me check that, but I don't know if I agree with that. Good morning, Levin. I believe that the PM will appoint the following this afternoon: Attorney General Wayne Munro, Finance Michael Alkidis, National Security Keith Bell. Could we please keep Keith Bell away from the police force? I don't want to go from having one very FNM police as the Minister of National Security to now having one very PLP police in charge of national security. You do not get to fondle these uniform organizations in that fashion. Could we please keep Keith Bell away from national security? Please, not for my sake, for Jesus' sake. And I mean newborn baby Jesus' sake. Not because he's not capable, but because these organizations have to run a certain way. These men once had ambitions within these organizations. And while I believe that Marvin Dames had very good success, and while I believe his two commissioner picks were obviously the right choices, if you notice, there's not been a murder count in triple digits around here for 3 years. Pookie them either stop killing one another, or Mr. Ferguson and Mr. Roll are doing their jobs, right? I do not want to see, I mean, the kind of political maneuvering that I saw in the last administration that I found to be rank with offense. I want Keith Bell nowhere near the Ministry of National Security. Just like how I didn't want Chester Cooper anywhere around the Ministry of Finance or Financial Services. Sometimes people are very good, sure, but you will find that they will be nothing more than a thorn if you put them in certain places. And I believe that if Prime Minister Davis wants to prevent himself from becoming the casualty of a cluster bump of frustration, he would keep Keith Bell away from his uniform branches. I'm making him the Minister of Finance. He can have Michael Alkidis over there. Michael can make him look smart. His diction is well. He postures well. He pontificates well. Michael will do all the number crunching. Keith will come and read the numbers for us. I think that's a beautiful combination. Let's take one more call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, Levin.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Right here. I think you were looking for when Prime Minister was appointed to the Privy Council. So Ingram would have been appointed in July of 93.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christie would have been February of 2004. So, yes, those two would have gotten it in that first term.
That's what I recall.
Right, and the reason they would have gotten it because they're lawyers. Minnis would not have been appointed.
Because he's not a lawyer.
Because he's not a lawyer.
Right.
That's how that would work. Now, onto the issue of VAT. One of the things I think would be neat to understand is that the Free National Movement, their reason for increasing the VAT to 12% was to make up for the revenue shortfall that would have occurred due to those VAT-free zones and all those VAT exemptions. So you have to understand, in order for a tax to be compliant, as well as to reduce the enforcement cost of a tax, you have to have little to no exemptions as possible. That's why we were able to have VAT at 7.5% when it was introduced.
Right.
And so in order for the Progressive Liberal Party to then reduce the VAT rate, it will have to eliminate either those VAT-free zones or eliminate many of those exemptions.
Okay.
Now, most people would say, well, why would you want to eliminate exemptions? Well, quite simple. A lower tax rate helps everybody, as opposed to having all of these exemptions, which makes it more expensive.
Correct. Because
when you consider the fact that you have to now enforce that, you got to make sure that the persons who are applying the exemptions to them, they're putting it on the correct item.
Correct. No, I agree. Which is why I've said that I could understand if you said VAT will be on everything. We will leave it at 12%. Hell, we'll take it to 15%. But there will be no VAT on any food item. There will be no VAT on any healthcare and medical item. There will be no VAT on electricity. You understand? And those are the only three categories. Please don't bring nothing else to me. I think that has a far more effective reach on the poor than this reduction to 10%. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. People need light medication and water. I mean, and light medication and food, sorry.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, right? But then you want to cast the widest net as possible to collect as much revenue as possible. So if you start putting in these exemptions and then you have a higher rate, you're really basically in a race to the bottom. Like, let me give you a good example, right? Let's look at telecoms in the state. All of them fighting for who can have the lowest rate, right? And then they end up with a race to the bottom where it basically becomes almost negligible in terms of their revenue. So they have to expand. So the thing is you want to ensure that you have the lowest rate possible that can get as many people paying as possible.
Appreciate you, Carlo.
We should look at that reduction.
Appreciate you. We out of time. Thank you so much. This one here says, cake don't always make people happy, Miller. I asked the French queen who said, let them eat cake. They cut her head off for that. The election won't change anything. Let me get this last one in before we get out of here. Can you keep Zane Lightborn away from education? Okay. That's my time. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't.